Taylor, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Great. Joining me today is Taylor Estes, Managing Editor for Horns 24/7. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Philip. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you. Tell us a little bit about what you do for the site Horns 24/7.
So I'm the Managing Editor over there, so I'm in charge of kind of the content schedule, the content calendar, and then I also cover the University of Texas football team on a daily basis. I've been covering Texas since 2011 now. So I've seen a lot of mediocre football in my career, I'll tell you that.
I would say, especially lately. But
yeah.
So why don't we start there? You've Texas has been, we'll just say, down for quite a few years. What do they, so far I would say, watching Texas football, they look better this year than they did the past few years under Charlie Strong. What is your opinion of the job that the head coach is doing so far?
You know, I think that the staff has done a really good job of getting the players to play up to their talent level. You know, Charlie Strong did a really good job of recruiting really talented players, you know, some of the top players ranked, you know, in recruiting rankings nationally. And when it came to the on-field production, I think a lot of people were like, what the heck? You know, these were just 4- or 5-star recruits coming in, and they're missing tackles left and right. They're just getting gashed in the run game. You know, they put up back-to-back years of the worst statistical defense in school history. And now these players, you know, they're going into their junior year. I do think that does have something to do with it, with a lot of the, like, the 2015 recruiting class that has been starters basically since they were freshmen on campus. I do feel that, you know, once a lot of times when players get to that upperclassman level, things just finally start to click. They stop thinking so much and they start just, you know, kind of reacting the way that they naturally would if they weren't thinking about what they had to do every single step of the way. So I do think that definitely plays a factor into the on-field production, especially on defense for Texas. But, you know, mainly defensively, I would say that Todd Orlando has really done a really good job of getting these guys to not think and to get to that point so that they could kind of have that third year, like, come out party in a way. And so, you know, I think that Charlie Strong struggled with that a lot. You know, those players would talk about how they just never would execute, or they weren't executing the game plan. The coaches put them in the right position, but they're not executing. But there's a reason why they weren't executing, and I think it's because of the coaching style. And so I do see that as changing. And, I mean, you know, the record doesn't show it, but I agree with you. I think that this is a better Texas team from top to bottom than it has been in years past.
You talked about the obvious defensive improvements. One thing I have noticed about the offense or the defense, though, is they seem to be giving up a lot of big plays. They've had at least one long, one big scoring play allowed in each game this season. What is the reason for that?
You know, I think a lot of the big plays have come, you know, against the secondary, and that there have been definitely bright spots of the secondary. Safety Deshaun Elliott has had a really good junior year. Holton Hill, cornerback, he had a really bad slump as a sophomore. He ended up not even playing much last year after being, you know, a freshman All-American candidate after his first season. So, you know, I think that the big plays may just come within communication. I mean, Deshaun Elliott's back there, but there's also Brandon Jones next to him, the other starting safety, who is a true sophomore. And while he did play some in his true freshman year last season, he didn't really play enough to where he's going to be the guy that's going to be, like, reading the whole field. You know what I mean? Like, just because of his lack of experience. So I do think that the communication aspect has been a reason for the big plays. But also, I think the fact that the offense is not, you know, really pulling its weight at all times. Some of the big plays, if you look at, you know, Texas defense has been on the field a lot in games this season. And I think that, you know, when defenses get worn down, that's when they're so susceptible to giving up those big plays that they have been. So I think that kind of plays into it as well.
So I think Herman talked about that some in his press conference this week. What is it about the offense that's causing them to struggle? Especially, it seems like early in games they're having issues.
Yeah, you know, I think it starts up front, honestly. I think the offensive line has been a really big Achilles heel for this offense, and especially with the run game. I mean, Texas has a lot of running backs on the roster that are very talented players, but they haven't been like much or made much of an impact thus far this season. And I think it's because by the time they get the ball, there's a defender like right in their face. So I think that the issues on offense definitely start up front. Texas lost one of its starters, Elijah Rodriguez, who was supposed to be a starting offensive lineman, or they lost him in fall camp, which then kind of opened the door for some younger players to get some more playing time. And then when left tackle Connor Williams, who's an All-American left tackle, most people are projecting him to be a first-round NFL draft pick in the future, you know, he went out against USC. So he was pretty much the brightest spot on that line, and he's been gone. And since then, they've been playing Denzel Okafor, who is a sophomore, but he played very, very minimally in his true freshman year last year. And then they have a true freshman starting at right tackle in Derek Hurstetter. You know, that's never a recipe for success, I think, for any football team. I think most people would agree that offensive linemen are probably gain the most out of most positions in getting at that redshirt year because of how different the game is from high school to college for them. So, you know, I definitely think that's one of the biggest problems. I think if the offensive line could even play, honestly, like, decent, I think that this offense would be much different looking. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if the records show that too.
I'll say compared to OSU, it seems like a pretty solid starting five without a lot of experience at depth, and then injuries have just caused problems from there.
Yeah, for sure. The injuries have definitely been plaguing the offensive line for Texas. And, you know, I mean, I know Connor Williams is not undergoing surgery. He is kind of doing a rehab treatment for it. There has not been a timetable set for if he will return this year, and if he does, when it will be. But I think, you know, if he does return back this year, I do think that will help the offensive line. But he only plays on one side. So, you know, if the pressure is coming for the other side, there's only so much he can do.
Staying with the offense for a second. Quarterbacks, one of the biggest problems Texas has had pretty much since Colt McCoy is finding the guy to put behind center. Is Erlinger the guy, or is he just another quarterback that's going to go through the carousel?
Honestly, I actually had this conversation with my husband last night. I've watched a lot of quarterbacks come through this program in my career, and I just started in 2011. However, I've seen Garrett Gilbert, David Ash, Case McCoy, Tyrone Swoops, Gerard Hurd, Shane Buechele, and now Sam Ellinger during that time. And I told my husband this last night that after seeing Ellinger now play in four games, you know, after his first game against San Jose State, I was very, like, hesitant to really, like, anoint him as anything because it's like, well, you know, kind of compare the competition there. And you would hope that the Texas offense can move the ball against San Jose State if you're a Texas follower, Texas fan at all. But, you know, I think after seeing him play against Oklahoma, after seeing him play against Kansas State and USC, I think that this might be the real deal. And that's absolutely the first time that I've said that since I started covering Texas in that time frame there. I could be wrong. You know, maybe it's just something that teams haven't figured out how to really stop him and stop his legs because they don't have very much game film on him. I'm not sure. Like, I think time will tell with that. But I did watch Ellinger in high school a lot, and, you know, I saw him in games where I was like, wow, like, you don't expect the type of plays that he makes, and he does it consistently. I mean, that's just the type of player that he is. And so, I would say Ellinger probably is the future of Texas football. That might be, you know, my famous last words, but I feel that the position itself is in a much better standing than it has been in any year since I started covering this team.
He did get beat up against OU. Is there any concern from Texas fans that he's not 100% this weekend?
From everything that I have heard and everything that Tom Herman has said, no, there hasn't been any issues. He hasn't missed any practice. You know, he was absolutely banged up. I think a lot of people were wondering if he should have even went back in the game against Oklahoma. I'm kind of under the stance of the University of Texas has, you know, a concussion protocol in place. The medical staff, they're not going to put a player in the game, especially if people are thinking that he has a head injury with the way that kind of the climate is around concussions and stuff in football right now. There's no way they would put a player who was concussed or anything like that back on the field. So, he was evaluated, though, on Sunday, and Herman said that he was fine, and then he practiced on Tuesday. So I don't think there should be any issue with him.
Okay. Going back to the Red River last weekend, do you think coming into this weekend that Texas will have either a kind of a hangover from that game, it being Red River and being such a big deal, or do you think the fact that they lost the way they did, they'll come into this weekend with a chip on their shoulder?
I think that with it being a Tom Herman type, like, led team, I would be surprised if they didn't come with a chip on their shoulder at this point in the season. But when Texas entered the Maryland game to start the year, it looked kind of like the Texas of years past. And then since then, we hadn't really seen the players really revert back to their old ways. So, if this was last season, I would say, yeah, they'll probably get – I mean, I kind of think that Texas is going to lose anyway, but I would say that they probably get smoked, by Oklahoma, especially this Oklahoma State team coming into Austin, coming off of a loss to Oklahoma. But, I would be pretty surprised if they just had a hangover or their focus wasn't in the game. But that saying that, I don't think that means that Texas is in any way, shape, or form going to just, like, surprise Oklahoma State or, do something crazy come Saturday.
One of the things I heard or read was that Texas does a really good job, and I noticed that Texas does a really good job against the run, defending the run. They haven't allowed a single rusher to gain over 100 yards since Maryland, but obviously they give up. We talked earlier about the big plays on the passing that they give up. Going against OSU, who has shown propensities for huge passing plays, especially with Rudolph and the wide receiver core we have, is that something that you think the defense will try and adjust to, or will they focus or continue to focus on shutting down the run and just kind of hoping for the best with the passing game?
I mean, I think that they have to put a focus on anything that Mason Rudolph does at this point. I mean, I was going through his stats earlier today and was just like, this kid is on a different level. With his passing stats, averaging almost 400 yards passing per game. I mean, that's pretty crazy, And he even had almost 400 yards in the loss against TCU. It's like, my goodness, this kid is the real deal. So I do think that the Texas secondary is really going to be focused on being in position and making sure that the wide receivers that Oklahoma State has, don't beat them vertically, because a lot of them have a lot of speed and they can't really afford to let those guys get behind them. So I do think that Texas will be kind of hoping to be assignment sound when it comes to the secondary with Mason Rudolph, because I don't think anyone in Austin is overlooking the difference maker that he has been and that the wide receiver core has been for Oklahoma State this season.
If there's one defensive player for Texas that could disrupt the offense and cause trouble for Rudolph, who would that be?
I think the people you would have to look at are probably Puna Ford, the defensive tackle, and Malik Jefferson. That when you kind of talk about the run defense, I think that's a huge credit to Puna Ford. He has, I feel like linemen, whether it's on defense, a defensive lineman get a little bit more, kind of recognition than offensive linemen, but usually it all starts up front when it comes to the team's performance. And I think Puna Ford has done an exceptional job this year in helping stop the run. And I think with both him combining him with linebacker Malik Jefferson, I think it's extremely important for them to kind of put that pressure on Mason Rudolph if Texas is going to, see some type of success in this game. Because if they can pressure Mason Rudolph, get him off of his rhythm, then that impacts not just the, possible, run game if they're going to run the ball, but also him throwing the ball. So I think it starts with – I definitely starts up front with Puna Ford, and then Malik Jefferson kind of coming off the edge, I think, is another person to kind of look at.
Good to know. Good names to know. Last question. You said earlier you don't think Texas wins this game. But if they were going to, what would you expect to happen to help the – if the Longhorns won the game, what did they do to win it?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I think it would start with the defense. The defense would have to find a way to limit Oklahoma State's offense from putting up a lot of points. I think the defense knows that they're going to probably give up points to Oklahoma State, and if the Texas offense was in a better situation than it has been, this game may be different. But the fact that the Texas offense has struggled to really put up a lot of points this season, I think, you know, it makes it even more important for the defense to limit the amount of times that Oklahoma State's offense sees the end zone, just so they can give the offense a chance to at least try to put up 30 points. We'll see. I don't know if that's the case, but, you know, I think if the Texas defense could have a performance similar to how TCU played Oklahoma State and limited them to 31 points, and I think Texas could be in this game. It's just, that's a big, big, big if at this point.
So do you have a final score prediction?
You know, I don't really, at this point, honestly, I think this game could go one of two ways. I think if the defense comes out really ready to play, and I think that this could be kind of a battle, maybe a, you know, 38-31, 38-35 win or something like that for Oklahoma State. But if the defense doesn't come out ready and the offense doesn't strike quickly, then I would not be surprised if this game gets out of hand in like a 2 or 3 touchdown type of situation and a type of win for Oklahoma State.
I think OSU fans would appreciate it.
Yeah.
A nice big blowout win with the schedule we have over the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's a tough one there for sure. And the Big 12 in general this year, I mean, my goodness, I think that a lot of people have been surprised with the skill in the Big 12 and how well the Big 12 has played, not just against each other, but against other conferences too. So, it's not going to be easy for, I think, any Big 12 team to make it to that first Big 12 championship game and then find a way to, you know, have a rematch against a team that they've probably already beaten. So it's going to be interesting to watch down the stretch for sure.
I agree. It's a deep conference this year when you've got Iowa State beating OU. That just makes it just spells trouble for someone, you know. The conference is going to have a hard time getting into the playoff if Iowa State teams and if Baylor gets a win somewhere they're not supposed to. It's just scary.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Iowa State had 16 votes as AP voters this past week. And the week before, I think they had like 18 or something. So they would technically be, if it was ranked through the top 30, Iowa State would be ranked right now. I mean, that kind of shows the state of the Big 12 this season and I think what people were not expecting.
They should. Iowa State should have beaten Iowa. They just blew that game. They should be
5-1,
which
absolutely.
Is even scarier. And if Texas Tech had held on against West, I mean, you can look at a lot of games this year and go, you know, if they had just held on, Texas Tech would still be ranked. Iowa State could be ranked. It's a deep and talented Big 12.
Yeah, totally agree with that.
It makes for a fun season until those upsets happen to your team.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a fan, you know, in me, like covering the season, I'm excited to cover these games. I'm excited to watch the Big 12 kind of go down the stretch to see how they play against each other. But yeah, if you're a fan, you're probably like, wow, like I can't even like expect an Iowa State game. Like really, like, what is happening to this league right now? So it's definitely going to be interesting.
Well, Taylor, thanks for talking to me today. You had some really good insight about the Longhorns.
Yeah, anytime, Dad. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your week. And
thank you.
Enjoy this weekend.
Thank you. You too.